Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site and fm1032.com.au.
Max Licardo has written more than 50 books with 28 million copies in print. He was named America's Pastor by the influential Christianity Today magazine. And in 2005, Reader's Digest called him the best preacher in America. Now, aside from all of those titles, I think Max probably wants to be known by the fact that he's simply a husband and a father and a follower of Jesus Christ. That's my guess anyway. But let's ask him himself. Great to have you on Open House, Max.
Oh, thank you, Sheridan. It's my privilege. Appreciate being included.
What would you like to be called?
A sinner saved by grace.
Yeah.
God has been good to me in spite of the fact that I've ignored him for many years of my life. And so I think if nothing else, you know, just to know that God was kind to me and had mercy upon me, even though I ignored him. Would be the greatest legacy I can leave.
Mm. Your own path to faith actually had a few bends and kinks in it, didn't it? Recount that for us.
Well, I developed a pretty serious drinking problem when I was young, Sheridan. Even though my parents did all they could to direct me in the right path, I fell in with a crowd that I didn't. They were stronger than I was, and I have this insatiable appetite for beer. And just one beer is never enough for me. And so by the time I was 18, I realized that I could drink a lot more than my buddies could without feeling it. And I believe I was developing an intolerance toward alcohol. And quite honestly, I enjoyed that for a while, but it scared me. I thought, where is this going to take me? And so about the age of 20, somebody explained to me about the teachings of God and especially about his son, Jesus. And I've came to believe that Jesus is God's son and that when he died on the cross, that he died so that I could go to heaven. And that was authenticated to me as I studied about the resurrection and realized I really believe he rose from the dead. And if he rose from the dead, then he has authority over my mistakes and my rebellion. And so I received forgiveness. It's been literally a great life since. Mm-hmm. I don't battle the alcoholism any longer. I have to be careful, and I've finally convinced that he's forgiven me for all those mistakes that I made during those years.
Yeah, and with that experience, and with all the experience you've had now of writing all these books, and you've led a fairly sizable church for 20-odd years, if you were to sum it up, what would you say is your life message?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it would be that God loves, so God gave, we believe, and we live.
Mm, I like that. Spoken by a true preacher, I might just add.
16, the most famous verse in the Bible, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son so that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. And you have to keep things simple for me. I'm not the brightest bulb in the drawer. And that passage made sense to me. Well, God loves me. Okay. All right. Well, I can get my head around that some. He gave exactly what I needed, and that is a sacrifice for my sins and mistakes. I believe if I just trust that, then life begins within me. So that's really the statement I think that if I could share with any person in any subway or airplane or situation, it would be that.
Mm, I like it. Well, as we mentioned before, Christianity Today called you America's pastor, and Reader's Digest said you're the best preacher in America. I think you've probably sold more books than any other Christian author in the world. How do you combat the tempting lure of being a, quote, Christian celebrity?
Well, God has a way, although that's a great question, Sheridan, because sometimes I believe what people say about me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the most dangerous thing to do, mm-hmm. Because you begin, it's a battle. I begin thinking, you know, I must really be special. And I'm not. I'm really not. I do struggle, just like everybody else, with pride. And pride is the core of sin. You know, when Adam and Eve were in the garden and the serpent approached Eve and said, did God really say if you eat from this you shall not die? I think he was playing with her pride testing her and saying, you know, if you do this, you'll be like God. And so there's something inside of us all that wants to be our own little gods. So it is a challenge. It is. And I don't always succeed. Now, God humbles me regularly. Right now, for example, I'm battling a heart condition that I've had 52 years of phenomenal health, but the last 9 months I've had a atrial fibrillation, and I thought I was Mr. Bulletproof, you know, that I'd never have any health issues. And it's a reminder that, you know, I'm very fragile, just like everyone else. And God, I think, sends us those reminders to keep us dependent upon Him.
Yeah, absolutely. We really are dependent on His hand and His enabling of us moment by moment, really, aren't we?
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yes, sir. And He is faithful. He does watch after us. But He is prone to send difficulties to waken us up to look to Him.
I'm interested. We've all seen the horrible effects of a Jimmy Swaggart or a Baker or even recently a Ted Haggard who have had a moral fall. What kind of safeguards have you put in place to keep you on the straight and narrow?
Well, that's a great question, because I do believe to him who much is given, much is required. Mm. And if somebody is entrusted with the care and teaching of, you know, a lot of people, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people through books, my integrity is very important. Because people interpret the credibility of God through the credibility of His children. Mm. So I try to be very careful. As we're engaging in this phone call, for example, I am in Seattle, Washington, in the northwestern part of the United States. I live in Texas, and so I've traveled up here to speak at an event this weekend. And I always have someone who travels with me. I never travel alone. When I speak, I don't request an honorarium, but I do request 2 airplane tickets,
right,
so I can have someone with me. I know there's somebody checking up on me or checking in with me, so it helps minimize the temptation of wandering around in a strange city and doing something that I would live to regret.
Mm. That's
another
great
thing that I have to do. As soon as I check into the hotel room, here in the United States, pornography is so rampant that I have to call down to the desk and say, turn the adult films off of my room, please. I don't even want to trust myself for 5 minutes alone with those films. And so I just have to do things like that just to be careful.
Mm. I was in a hotel room recently, and I actually asked them to do exactly the same thing. Unfortunately, they seemed to have no control over the previews. Very, very annoying. So in the end, I had to spend a lot of time outside of the hotel room, I can tell you.
Yeah.
Well, we're talking to Max Licato on Open House tonight, and let's talk about your book, Cure for the Common Life. You talk about us finding our sweet spot, which is a golfing term, but it's certainly applicable much more broadly. Describe what you mean by that phrase of us finding our sweet spot in life.
I believe that every single person has a uniqueness about them, a particular aptitude, bent, or strength that is unlike any other person alive, or I would say who has ever lived. That when God made you, Sheridan, when God made your listeners, made every person who will hear this voice, He made them unique. And when we discover that uniqueness, then we discover the reason we were placed on this earth. To try to be anything that I want to be is really impossible, because I may want to be a certain mechanic or a certain carpenter or a certain singer, but if those aren't the skills God gave me, I can want to be one all day long, but desire won't do it.
Mm.
I honor God when I study myself and assess, what do I do well? What do people want me to do? And at the conversion of those teachings, where what I want to do and what I do well come together, there I find my sweet spot.
Mm. Would you call it the same as one's calling or one's vocation?
Yes, yes, yes. In fact, you know, vocation comes from that Latin word vocare, or vocal, to call. And I believe God has given each one of us a calling. There are many places in the Bible that teach this, and of course there are many psychologists and sociologists who embrace this. And so as we can equip our children especially to understand that God has made them in a unique fashion and help them understand what's unique about them, we're doing them such a great favor.
Mm. Max, how did you personally discover your calling, the thing in life that you were supposed to do?
That's a great question, because what I assumed was I would be like my father. We all assume that we'll be like whoever raised us, you know, whether it be an uncle or a coach or or more personally, our father or mother. My dad was a mechanic. He loved to fix things. Problem was, I couldn't tell a carburetor from a spare tire. And I really wanted to be a mechanic like my dad, but I couldn't. I mean, I would try, and it just didn't make sense. But what I could do was read. I loved books. Even though my family was not a very a family given to a lot of books, there weren't a lot in our house, I could read books all night long, it seemed. My father noticed that, and so he made sure that I had a library card so I could read. And I also noticed that I loved to write. When other kids groaned at English assignments, I would get excited. I would not get excited at chemistry assignments or math assignments. So I think the question is, as you look back over your life, what things have you consistently enjoyed doing and done well? Study your life. Read your own story. And assume that there's something unique about you.
Yeah. Well, let's unpack that acrostic story, because you use that, S-T-O-R-Y, as a bit of a tool to help us unpack what our lives are and to then live an uncommon life. Break that open for us.
Okay. I could spend the whole program on it, but I'll move pretty quickly.
Yeah.
But strength, topic, optimal environment, relationships, and yes, S-T-O-R-Y. What's your strength? What's that one thing you do that you do relatively easily? In fact, Sheridan, there's probably something that you do that it's not that it's without challenge, but that when you do it, you say, that wasn't that hard. Mm. It came together pretty quickly for me. And that is your strength. When you catch yourself saying, well, that wasn't that hard, why can't everybody do this? Then you're operating in your strength. You also have a topic that fascinates you. It might be nature. It could be numbers. It could be colors. But when you find that one topic, for me it's words and messages, then you're finding your sweet spot. We all have optimal environments in which we work. Some of us need somebody to give us emergency moments. I have a friend who's works at a hospital, and he loves 911 moments. I mean, he's an emergency room junkie. He's at his best when he has to make a decision within a matter of 2 or 3 minutes, and it's a life or death decision. Mm. Others of us would just panic. We need time and space to be able to process. So what is your optimal environment? And then the fourth letter is R, relationships. Do you work better leading people or following people? As you look back over your life and your successful moments, were you by yourself or were you in a group? And then the last word is yes. When do you do something and you look up and you clench your fist and say, yes, that was great. I love doing that. You know, my daughter, my youngest daughter, does that when she cooks. She will prepare a meal. She's 18 years old. She will prepare a meal. And at the end of it, she'll say, oh, that was so much fun. Sheridan, I cannot comprehend that. I see no enjoyment whatsoever in cooking. But I'm so grateful she does. And because she does, I eat well.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the S-T-O, that's the story that we have.
It's a nice tool. I think about some of the experiences that I've had in my own life. I think of when I had about 3 months to write a book just full-time, and it was my optimal environment. I was just by myself. I had the opportunity to speak with others on occasion, but there was a great joy that came there. And also think about the night we launched this show, Open House, and I was driving home at about 2 o'clock in the morning, I think, after we'd wrapped up the very first show, and I was slamming the steering wheel, saying, yes, 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 so I can read my own story into yours.
Way to go, Sheridan. Yeah. And see, what you're doing is that you are being responsive to God's story on your heart. Mm. I think there is an assumption sometimes made by Christians that if it's enjoyable, it must not be my assignment.
Mm. Sure.
To be a disciple or follower of Christ is to be miserable. Just the opposite. I believe that it is every bit as important for a mechanic to work to God's glory as it is for a preacher to prepare sermons to God's glory.
Yes, absolutely.
So that's your vocation, your call.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel the same when I'm speaking as well, and I really have kind of nailed it. I think about a great phrase by Friedrich Buchner, and he said, the place God calls you to is where the world's deep hunger and your deep gladness meet.
I have read that and underlined that phrase myself.
Yes.
I think it is exactly the great summary of the theme of vocation.
Yeah. Max Licato is our special guest on Open House tonight. We'll podcast this via the openhouse.net.au. As you mentioned before, Max, you've recently had some issues with your heart, and I know that you stepped down from the senior minister position of Oak Hills Church there, where you've been for 20 years. Now, how has that changed your understanding of your own unfolding story?
That's a great question, and I'm still in the process of that, by the way. I'm still serving as senior minister, but we're going to bring on somebody to assume that role within a few months.
Okay.
And I'm going to stay on as a teaching minister of the church. I think one of the things that has taught me is the fallibility of my own life. I've been blessed to not have any health issues for 52 years, my entire life. And all of a sudden, I'm being reminded on a regular basis that even if you try to take good care of yourself, these things happen. And so it was a wake-up call to me. And it encourages me to focus now that I'm 52 years old. I figure I have maybe a couple of three decades left if I can take good care of myself. What's the last lasting contribution I want to make in my life? And so this gives me a wonderful privilege to focus in on that and see if I can do a good job.
Okay, Max, you know my next question. What is going to be your lasting contribution over the next three decades?
I'm going to do more of what we're doing now, writing, and do more talking about writing, about this message. Mm-hmm. I'll probably do a little more travel. My health is doing better now. I've had some good treatments for my heart. And so it's, if God willing, I'd like to just encourage people and travel. It's been my honor to travel all over the world, but there's still places I've never got to go. One of these places is Australia.
Thought so.
and so that's what I'd love to do over the next few years.
Yeah.
More books and more travel.
50 books to your name, that's probably even an outdated number now anyway, and I think 2002 would have to be your record year. I counted 6 books released in that year alone by you. I don't know how you do it. How many books have you got left in you?
Well, you know, only God knows the answer to that. I do love to write. I really love working with words, and God has been so kind to just let me do this, and I think I'll keep it up for a while.
Who's been the greatest influence in your writing life? Who has influenced your shaping of words more than anybody else?
That's a great question. You mentioned Frederick Buechner, who is a wonderful writer. And I was introduced to him in the 1970s, believe it or not. I believe 1979, if not 1980, well, when somebody first gave me a Frederick Buechner book, and I remember reading it saying to myself, oh, I didn't know you could write so creatively about the Christian faith. And so he was an early influence for me. And then later on, I began reading Chuck Swindoll's writings. And Chuck is a dear friend, a man whom I respect very much. And the fact that he is a pastor and a writer inspired me to try to do both. So those two men have had a good influence on me through the years.
What's your optimal environment for writing? Are you very much a solitudinal person when it comes to writing, or do you?
I am, yeah. Sheridan. I have to get off to myself, and I need several hours of uninterrupted time. I'm not a good, 30 minutes here or 60 minutes there. I need a good 5 or 6 hours. And then after about 5 or 6 hours, my brain cells begin to fizzle, and so I have to break away and call it a day. For me, a good writing day is about 5 or 6 hours. Mm. I've heard of those who can go all night long. I don't do that well, but if I can have just a few uninterrupted hours, it works out well.
Mm. Well, you're moving into a very exciting time of your life. You've already had some great decades. And as you start to, I guess, wrap up the chapter that has been your senior minister role at Oak Hills Church there over 20-odd years, did life ever slip into commonness during those 20 years when you had a season of the mundane, I guess?
Yes, sir, it does. I battle that, especially in those of us who are involved in church life. The church, leading a church can begin to feel like you're just leading a company or an organization. You have budgets, you have personnel issues, you have property issues, and so it begins to, it begins to take on the feel of a corporate nature. And so we have to remind ourselves regularly in church that this is an absolutely unique organization on the face of the earth. The church is called to pray. It's the only organization God calls to pray. I know everyone does pray, but he did not call, you know, universities to be houses of prayer or hospitals to be houses of prayer. It's the church that is God's house of prayer. And also the church is the institution to which God gave his gospel, the promise of eternal life and the death of Christ on the cross. So it's a high and holy call that God gives the church. And so that we have to battle against mediocrity as we express those two great gifts.
Yeah. Look, final question, and it's a three-parter there, but here's your gift and your calling, your vocation. Your sweet spot is words and communication. I wanted to leave us with three bits of advice. One piece of advice for church leaders, one piece of advice for aspiring writers, and one piece of advice for those who feel that their life is mundane. It's kind of trapped in the commonness of life at the moment. What would you say to each of those three groups of people?
Great. To church leaders, I would say pray and preach Jesus. If we succeed there, great. If we fail there, we fail. Secondly, to writers, I would say that the secret to good writing is rewriting. Most books could use another draft.
That's true. Absolutely.
And then thirdly, what I would say to those whose lives are trapped in mundanity is to listen carefully to the promises of the famous verses in the Bible, like John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. You are loved by God. Your name is known in heaven. God smiles when he thinks of you, and he has an eternal plan, a plan that is beyond this world, beyond this life, for you.
Nicely put. Max Licato, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for your time.
Oh, my privilege, Sheridan.
Yeah. MaxLicato.com if you'd like to know a little bit more about Max Licato and his umpteen books. We've been talking about Cure for the Common Life. There's John 3:16, there's Come Thirsty, there's so many more. You'll find out more at MaxLicato.com.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.